and welcome to another episode of The Agony Uncles. I'm Uncle Si.
And I'm your Uncle Dave.
And you know how it is, don't you? You know, it's a funny old world. One minute you're trundling along quite nicely in the sunshine, but the next minute dark clouds appear and come along, and then it all goes a bit pants.
Yeah, when sliding down the banister of life, you're bound to get splinters in your arse. Yes, and that's where we come in.
Yes.
We've seen it all on our many travels. And that's why we want to help you with your troubles on this, the Agony Uncles podcast.
Oh, yes. Now, helping us with the troubles and trials this week is the voice of your problems, the one, the only, the silver fox, the gorgeous human being that he is, the silky, gorgeous loveliness that is ice cream. Is that enough? Is that okay? Mr. Mark Jeeves. Hello, Jeevesy.
Oh, I have to have a lie down after that. Yes, hello. Yes. Lovely to see everyone. It's fantastic to see everybody. And we've got to say hello to Daniel Gosling, who got in touch on Facebook with a question. He said, my current TV viewing before bed is your restoration road trip, and the razzle dazzle scene will never fail to make me laugh. And this had some comments. What's the razzle dazzle scene? Could you explain?
I don't remember. How about you?
It was so sparkly.
I think the razzle dazzle was some sort of ride, wasn't it?
Oh, on the fairground one.
In the fairground, I seem to remember. And you were razzling, and I was, well, you were actually dazzling, and I was razzling because I'm scared of fairground rides. I always think I'm going to come off.
Me too.
Dave's not. I hate them. And going, oh, Kiki, it's great. Go scream if you want to go faster. I think that's what it was. And I was not screaming. I was screaming of sheer and utter terror while he was going, wah!
Oh, I remember that. Yeah, it was good fun, wasn't it?
Oh, it was a laugh, like, wasn't it?
No, I mean, we built traction engine wheels and everything, steam train wheels. Yeah. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. That's amazing. My dad ruined all my love of fairground rides. He was an engineer, and he always used to go, it just takes one bad bolt. And that was all it was. I was never going on anything, because I'd go on there going, it's only one bolt that's going to come off. I'm going to die.
Yeah, it's a similar thing. My father used to say that. He'll go, all right, well. And my mother, you never know where these lads might have spoilt the ship for a heap of tatar, which fundamentally meant they might have dodgy bolts. So you're like, oh.
Oh, and here she is. She makes Barbara Cartland look like Katie Price. She's like Lady Penelope on the outside and Dear Deirdre on the inside. It's posh tash.
Morning. I'm not doing, I'm actually on that slippery banister of life this weekend. We've got a broken boiler. So I'm sitting here clutching a hot water bottle. I've had no hot water and no heating now for 3 days. And I have to say, even down south, it's a bit chilly.
Can't you go to one of your other houses?
Yeah, no, not enough houses to go to at the moment, sorry.
What about that one next door to Buckingham Palace? That's quite nice. I like that house.
It's a bit small nowadays, I find. Yeah, it's a bit small.
Yeah. And you've let the garden go. I passed the other day.
Yeah.
Oh, dreadful mess.
Oh, you poor love, you'll be stinking.
I do, that's the problem. I haven't got time to wash. That's why I'm looking slightly more... I could put an egg on here probably and fry it today.
Nice.
Oh. Right, Uncle Dave, wingle that jingle finger.
Bang-a-ding-ding-ding-dong-boo!
Hello, hairy bikers. Here is my request. I have got a problem that I must get off my chest. Won't you listen to my story like a hairy Jack and Ori? Because I heard your advice is the best.
In today's cacophony of chaos, Uncle Si, Uncle Dave and Posh Tash, you're going to be metering out your lovely advice to these troubles and woes. We have the C-word nightmare. We have the bank of mum and dad. We have meeting the ex. And in confidential corner, we have the name shame. But we're going to start with the C-word nightmare, and this comes to us from Eleanor. He says, Dear Uncle Si, Uncle Dave and Posh Tash, like another of your listeners on another podcast, I'm not a fan of the C-word either, but I'm afraid I'm going to have to mention it as I desperately need your help. Christmas. Every year, for the past 48 years, I've avoided having anything to do with Christmas dinner. I have a large family, all of whom like cooking far more than me, but this year, it's finally my turn and I'm bricking it. I have to cook for 13 people aged between 3 and 89. I'll be honest, I have absolutely no idea how to even begin. But as a maths teacher, I've tried applying logic to this, so here are my questions. Question one. Luckily, they all want turkey, so my question is, how does one know what size to get for 13 people? Question two. Is there a vegetable formula to use? For example, how many roast potatoes does one potato make? And how many roast potatoes is reasonable for each guest? Similarly, carrots, parsnips, etc. And question three. How much gravy should I make? How many milliliters per plate is normal? Please help. I'm not at all sure how to plan for this. Eleanor, over to you.
I think you're overcomplicating matters.
And you need the 12 Days of Christmas cookbook by the Hairy Bakers. That's me, Nick. And it'll tell you everything. Absolutely everything. So go and get that. It's cheap at the minute on Amazon.
Well, you know what I would say is the size of the turkey, just get a really big turkey. Because the best bits your turkey sandwiches afterwards. Then your leftovers on Boxing Day. So if you go large, you can't go wrong. And it's just a Sunday roast, isn't it? And as for potatoes, it depends on the size of your potato, so you can't apply a mathematical formula to it, because the potato, by sense of being a potato, is in sense variable. So that's your variable. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, you're trying to apply the medium of everything, and you can't, because it's the natural world. And although English may be the language of business and mathematics the language of the universe, it stops at Christmas dinner.
And in roast potatoes, greed is the language. More is always better.
And also, the greedier the better, because you can still eat it the next day. It's the bubble and squeak, it's the cold, it's the turkey sandwiches, it's the potato salad. They're the best bits of Christmas.
Yeah. And the fry up.
Ooh. Mmm. And as for gravy, if you think you've got enough, you need more.
Yeah. It's like putting fresh herbs in anything. I'll just put a fresh herb in. Put four times as much as you think you need. It's like, yeah, man, it's like Christmas, isn't it?
Yeah, and then the gravy the next day, it'll just, you know, put it in a nice pot with a bit of cling film, whatever's socially ethical these days, on top, put it in the fridge, and it'll be just like solid jelly goodness the next day. Melt it down on your bubble and squeak. Heaven. I actually think Boxing Day dinner can be better than Christmas dinner.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
All that lovely leftover bits you can cook up. All the turkey pie, all that kind of stuff. I love it.
Yeah, we've done some incredible amounts of things with leftover turkey, haven't we? We've had to.
Turkey curries.
Turkey curries, turkey risottos, turkey bakes, turkey and ham pies with cranberry topping. You name it, we've cranberried it or turkeyed it.
Yeah, That's really good, though, that turkey and ham pie with a cranberry topping.
That is epic.
Going on my list. That sounds great.
It's a big sideboard bending pie. It's one of those ones, a big slice, you know, with some pickles and a bit of cheese.
I always get to that point of Christmas where if I don't host it, I'm a bit devastated on Boxing Day that I haven't got those leftovers. You come back to sort of slightly empty house. There's nothing in the fridge. I'd rather host it so I have those best bits afterwards.
Yeah, I'm with you.
So, Eleanor, here's the advice. It seems that basically you just need a lot and it'll get eaten. Is that what we're saying here, Uncle Si?
Yes.
Uncle Dave?
Yeah, and don't forget the trimmings either. You need your bread sauce, your cranberry sauce, and of course your Christmas crackers. The whole conventional masterpiece is born.
Pigs in blankets, devils on horseback, all of that. Yeah, don't
bread
forget.
Bread sauce.
What sauce?
Bread sauce.
I thought you said mint sauce.
No. I thought she said red sauce. I thought she'd gone common.
Oh, God.
Tomato ketchup.
Red sauce.
Or just get the Hairy Bikers 12 Days of Christmas book. Now available at all good bookshops.
Food makes everything better.
Your next problem is called the Bank of Mum and Dad, and it comes from Bernie. And Bernie says, "Dear Uncle Dave, Uncle Si and the team, I wonder if you can let me know when my money will be my own again. You see, my children are 22, 28 and 31. Ugh. I used to believe..." A voice of Si's experience there coming out. "I used to believe that when they left home and did their own thing, I'd be better off. But it seems not. Barely a week goes by when I'm not asked to dip into my pocket for a broken boiler, Tash, is this you? Is this your father? A broken boiler, a car MOT failure, or some such financial shock? I know things are tougher for the young ones nowadays, but it feels like I'm going to be forking out for the rest of my life at this rate. And at this time in my life, age 59, I don't ask much. Just a warm home, the odd glass of wine, and a Harley Davidson Electroglide. And at least one of those three is getting ever more out of reach. Your advice? Welcome. Asks Bernie. Over to you.
It's always going to be like that, isn't it?
Yep. I think, Bernie, it's always going to be like that, dude. They're your kids. And yes, the times are tough for them at the minute. Stop deluding yourself. Drink more wine. Ride your Harley Davidson. And every now and then, just tell the kids no. That's what I do. I just go, well, they've stopped asking because I just keep saying no. I kind of relent a little bit with our Dylan because he's only like 22. But because I'm as soft as shit. But other than that,
I think that's the problem with parents. You naturally want your kids to do well. You naturally want them to be okay. And who else do they ask? I mean, there's a point, I guess, there's cheeky asking. But you know what? I think mums and dads are meant to save the day somehow. And you'll never want to see them freezing in a corner with a broken boiler. I hope my mum's listening.
See, and then look, Posh Tash is like at least, well, over 30, let's over. Just say it.
Ooh,
and then, and just, you know what? I mean, it's always the same.
Yeah, you shout out, but you kind of go, you know, parents are there to save the day. They're there to pick you up when you fall over sometimes. And I definitely don't abuse on the financial side of things, but I do think as a parent, and I've only got little ones, well, I've got teenagers too, but I do still go, of course I will. I love you. It's sort of, as you say, Si, we're soft as shit.
Yeah, we are. I'm sorry I can't phrase it in a sort of nicer way, but it's true.
I think the big one now, of course, is accommodation, be the kind of getting a rental flat or buying their own property, because to actually buy property now without parental help is blooming hard, isn't it?
It's impossible.
How do you get to save that deposit? Or the mortgages, you know, the percentage. It's a nightmare without the bank of mum and dad, really.
To be fair, you know, it's an enormously privileged position to be in, to be able to help, really, because there's lots of mums and dads that are going through the same anguish and the kids are going through the same thing that simply can't help because they're struggling to keep a roof over their heads themselves. So I wouldn't worry too much about it. You've got a Harley Davidson Electroglide, some wine, and a warm home. So those three things aren't bad. And although you don't ask for much.
No, I think you said the third one, which I presume is the Electroglide, that's becoming unobtainable.
I don't think he owns it yet.
He doesn't own it yet. That's his dream.
Has that put a whole new spin on it there, Si?
You've got everything you want. What's the matter with you? Take it, you know.
No, that's the thing. His kids are depriving him of what he wants for his retirement.
My kid said to me the weekend, he goes, I can't work out. And we have a very privileged life, don't get me wrong. I'm not as posh as everyone makes out, but we have a very nice life. But my son went to me, he goes, I can't work out whether we're rich or poor, because you're always talking about we've got no money. And I was like, okay, look, in the grand scheme of things, we are not poor people. We are very, very privileged, lucky people. But things are still very expensive and we can't just keep forking out all the time for all the luxuries that I think sometimes they take for granted, they don't realise. And I said, and sometimes now you're a bit older, it's good for you to know that we just can't afford to do that. Right now, can't afford to have the boiler done. No, we can. We just haven't got a boiler. But it's just like these things the teenagers just miss. They just don't realise it, that every little thing, it takes a lot of money. I've said to him recently, you've got to go and get a job because I can't just fund you all the time now. You go out so much more. There's food in my fridge. If you want to eat, I will feed you. But if you want something outside of that fridge, you know, then you've got to pay for that. I can't fund you twice for your food, you know, really. And that's teaching them a lesson. But it's a shame, I think, the teenagers now of having to really discuss and think about how expensive things are. Like when I can't just give it to them on a plate as much as I want to.
I don't think it serves to give them on a plate. And I'm sure Dave will agree that I think I've been over generous with the kids, but they always, they understand the gravitas of it. They never take it for granted. I mean, they do when they're in their younger teens, but as they've got older and a bit wiser and living independently, they kind of understand the help that's been given, as Dave's given his kids as well. You know, it's kind of, yeah, it's just an ongoing thing. And, dude, you're going to have to get your head around it, that, you know.
I remember once when Izzy was about sort of 13, we kind of decided to teach her, you know, we wanted her to manage her own money. So we gave her pocket money, because up until then, we just kind of like rumbled along. Thought, no, you know, and then we tried to explain that if there's anything she wanted, if it was from her money, didn't have to ask. You know, that was the logic. Anyway, we gave her this money. She was like a clamshell. She wouldn't, you know, spend it. We'd go out somewhere and she'd go, can I have these shoes? Well, yeah, of course you can. You can have what you want with your money. She said, I'm not using my money.
Yeah.
I'm going, no, you've got the wrong end of the stick. You know, it's... the idea is, give up in the end. We stopped her pocket money because it was just melting up. She was like Gollum. She's still tight now.
All right. So advice for Bernie. Let's wrap this up here. So advice for Bernie. Start with you, Posh Tash.
It's his job. He's a parent. I think be tough when you have to be, but otherwise your kids are going to turn to you for help, and I think you should be there for them.
Uncle Dave.
Yeah, you just got to suck it up. It's the way of the world, isn't it?
Uncle Si.
Drink more wine. And then you'll feel better about the money that you're giving away.
Well, if you're down, now don't get drunk. Just send an email to the Agony Uncle.
All right, our next problem is called Meeting the Ex. And for this, we need one male name. Who could we ask for a single male name, I wonder?
No, you're not going to. No, you only come to me for female names usually.
Male name?
I'm definitely not ready for a male name.
You've written down a load of female names, but you haven't got a male name, have you? Ha ha ha.
I've got a Match of the Day book in front of me, just found on the kitchen surface. I'll pick a name off it.
Name off it, please.
Ronaldo.
Yeah. Mbappe.
Jurgen.
We could go down. I can't even see a name on it. I mean, I'm just going to James. That's
James.
Boring, isn't it? James. Mbappe or James, that's your choice.
Preferred Ronaldo. All right, well, listen, we'll go for James. And this is called Meeting the Ex. Dear Uncle Sam, Uncle Dave and Posh Tash, my partner and I have been together for a couple of years now, but I've never met her ex. I will be doing so at Christmas, however, and it's bothering me. You see, it was all quite messy the way we got together. And although time has passed, it does feel like there's potential for some unpleasantness.
How much time? Did she say?
A couple of years. She says, so I'm not sure how to approach it. Now, my partner, she says it will be fine and isn't really fazed about the whole thing. But I think that first handshake with him might be a bit scary. Any thoughts? Asks James. Over to you.
It's got to be strong, James, and do it. Be civilised, be polite, and be the mature one. And if that doesn't fail, punch his lights out.
It's a good point. Why is he coming over anyway?
Well, they might be having a party or something. You can't just separate people's lives off, Tash, because it's inconvenient and makes you feel uncomfortable while you're making mince pies. It's Christmas.
I know, but it's been 2 years. I haven't had to meet him yet. Why suddenly now at Christmas? Maybe meet before Christmas. Get the meeting out the way,
yes,
and then it'll be nice for Christmas.
Yes, but it's not arranged for before Christmas, is it? It's arranged for Christmas.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's something about the convention of Christmas. You know, you can hide behind that convention of season of goodwill and all this. And
you're not expected to exchange
gifts, but a lot of responsibility will depend on James's partner as to how she handles it too. Mm. Do you know what I mean? It can be either pleasant or it depends if she's set James up. You know, if she's bitched about the ex-partner, or so James has got to hate this ex-partner. You know, it's different circumstances, isn't it? If it's just one of those things like, you know, we split up 2 years ago anyway, we better get on. So then it's different, isn't it?
Yeah, and how messy is messy? Because there's messy, there's it'll clear up in a minute messy, or it's this is going to take a deep clean messy. It depends.
Oh, there's a Lionel Messi.
Oh, there is.
He's in the book.
Is it? Well, you didn't bloody find him, did you?
No.
It was either that
Lionel
or Pedro. So, yeah, I don't know.
As long as she doesn't have him over, though, and then start flirting with him. Ooh, oh, then it's all going to get uncomfortable, isn't it?
Oh, well, gosh. Yeah, obviously. Oh,
God. Well, it only takes a Christmas snowball. That'll take a... Ooh, never know what might happen.
God, you've been reading too many Jilly Coopers and Joanna Trollope. You have. Ooh, just a Christmas snowball, and then we're back with the ex. Oh, God.
I can't... yeah, I'm just worried about taking him over. That's that taking him over what? I'm not entirely sure.
Taking me over the Arga.
Yes, indeed. Yes. Hold on to the rail. Incoming.
I find the rail on my Arga very comforting, actually.
Oh, that's nice.
Good. Beautiful and warm, yes, yes.
I'll not say that when you're holding on to a dude. Oh, God.
Right, meeting the ex is... Well, but if there's children involved, doesn't it? Because if there are children, then you have to meet the ex and you have to get on.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to say to our people who write in, I need more information because it's very hard. We have to presume all the variables here. You know, I want to know, is he a nice ex, a nasty ex? Are there kids involved? Why is he coming over? I want detail. And I think what basically should happen is he walks in the door, two strong drinks in everyone's hand, as you say, handshake, you know, take the moment and it's all over. That's it.
Or you could hand him two drinks, get him to drink it, like in a sort of, right, I bet I can drink it quicker than you. And then what you can do is you go, do you want to come to the bathroom and size up our willies so we know who's best? You could do that.
Well, it's an icebreaker.
It is an icebreaker. I mean, you know, it's not what I would do. I'd just shake his hand, say, you're very welcome. Here's a mince pie. Here's a drink.
Yeah.
And nice to meet you. After all this time, I've heard a lot about you, most of it bad. But, you know.
Yeah, life, you know, it's now it's time to bury the hatchet.
Yes.
Hopefully it's not in each other's head.
Yeah. And yeah. I've hidden the axe, all that. Aye. You know.
You can imagine it, can't you? Go up like, we go up to the, all right, yeah, all right. You know, oh, dear. It's going to be frosty, isn't it? Yeah. Frosty the Snowman's not in it this Christmas round at James's.
Or they might meet each other, get on really well, and then sit there and have a good old chat about her and go, yeah, she's a nightmare, isn't she?
Oh, aye.
It's not going to last.
You'll run off with somebody else. You've done it before.
Yeah.
Right. Aye, she'd been me for you. She'll be do the same again.
Aye, she'll not
Leopard doesn't change its spots.
Oh. We're definitely not helping.
We're not helping. James, just be a better... Just look, just get a hold of yourself. I know it must be nervous. I mean, not literally get a hold of yourself, but it must be... You're nervous. Don't worry about it, dude. It's the adult world. You shake hands and you say hello. And where's this event happening? Is it in one of their homes? That's the other thing.
Detail.
As Tash had said, more detail is probably needed, but yes.
Yeah, but you see, if James was responsible for their split-up, which it sounds like it was, i.e. the mess, then the other fella should be a lot more perturbed than James.
So, general advice is you just need the drink, the handshake, and don't go in the bathroom to compare each other's private parts.
No.
No.
Unless you've got manscape. Obviously.
Yes.
Unless you've scaped.
And it's mistletoe shaped.
Tash!
Mine's a holly bush.
The mulberry bush. Yeah, I like it.
I'm just waiting for somebody to get round it. Sorry.
Oh, I don't know. So we kiss under the mistletoe. Yeah. Completely different meaning now, Tash.
Good meaning, though, hey?
Yeah, no, good. Yeah, yes, yes.
Christmas time after all.
You little minx, you.
Well, it's obviously the chilly weather's green with you, Tash.
Yeah, got to keep warm somehow.
If you got problems, you'll be fine. Just drop the agony uncles a line.
Now it's time to head over to Confidential Corner.
And oh, we're not there yet. I thought that was James. Oh,
no,
him and Nora. Right.
No, this is Confidential Corner. No, this is called the name shame. Yeah, you thought that was bad? Here we go. Dear uncles and Aunt Tash, says a person who requires a name. We need one female and one male name. Uncle Dave, female. Uncle Si, male, please.
Vera.
Malcolm.
Vera and Malcolm. Vera has written in. So here's the problem, says Vera. His name is Malcolm. Mine is Vera. We've been intimate for 6 months, and we're still quite active in the passion department.
Yeah.
On two occasions in the past month, though, at his point of, how shall I put this, peak pleasure, he has called out the name of his ex. The first time I let it go. But the second time I just stopped and went, what? He looked at me very shocked, as though I wasn't the picture in his head at that time.
Oh, no!
No!
He swears blind that he's not thinking of her, but I don't know, and it's become a bit of a thing. He says it's not. He's apologised. He was with her for 13 years, though, so I suppose it's something he got used to doing. Anyway, says Vera, simple question. Is this something I need to get over, or should I be worried? Over to you.
Oh, dear.
Oh, goodly gracious me. Oh.
It's that point of excitement. Well, I mean, I think if you've been married before, sometimes, you know, you slip of the tongue, isn't there? But probably not at that intimate moment.
No.
I mean, once, I have to admit, I did shout Geronimo, but that was like, you know, I've been watching war films, you know, but Geronimo wasn't an ex of mine.
You liar! I know you dated one of the...
It's like you cry back of the net. Sometimes it's not terribly... It's terribly appropriate, is it, really? Geronimo!
Young man, there's no need to get down. Oh, man.
So the little character actually is a book that my kids used to read called Geronimo the Mouse. So actually now I've got pictures of you with this tiny little mouse in a little jacket. So I'm afraid. I think it's pretty awful. I don't really know what to say to that, because I'm thinking, we were talking the other day, weren't we, about how someone speaks out in their dreams and things like that, that it's all your subconscious, but you're awake and you know who you're with in bed, and you can't afford to get that wrong. So I wouldn't be worried. I just have to have a strong word and go, you're not getting your oats, love, until you can get my name straight, because that isn't happening for me. So I mean, that I think it's a total no-no. That's, for me, would be serious issues.
You're always getting confused with names, Kingy.
Well, yeah.
You are. I mean,
I have to ask you, everybody that we meet, who's that? Kingy, the really famous other? Oh, okay.
You know, it's sweet. I mean, not nothing. It's a very different circumstances. But at times, I think you've called me all the three names of your three sons, which I take as a great compliment.
Yes, that is. You know,
Dave. Hi.
That's me. Mum used to do that, though. My mum used to, mums do that, don't they? Because they'd go, our William, Si, I mean, Dave. You'd be like, well, which one are you talking to? You know.
My grandfather adored him, was an amazing man. But my mum's called Trisha and I'm called Tasha. And as he got older and his teeth, you know, used to come out more, he'd be like, trash, come over here. And so I ended up with trash. And his teeth would fall out. He's like, trash.
Posh trash.
Nice. Posh trash. Oh, like it.
That's good, isn't it?
Posh only trash. Only at night.
That's a side podcast for Posh Trash.
Posh Trash. Yeah.
That's a hip hop name.
What he could do is always just put a little, is to sneak a little sticker on her forehead. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
With a nail on.
Keep a Sharpie by the bedside table, is that what you're saying?
Imagine if you wrote it down and it was wrong, still wrong.
What was that? It's like Muhammad Ali in the ring with Joe Bugner going, what's my name? What's my name? You know, it's like, yeah, I don't know.
No.
It's not on that, like, really. I don't think, as you guys say, I don't think she needs to be worried particularly, but I'd be highly pissed off.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I don't, you know, because, like, he's with her and for 6 months and, they've, you know, they're still, you know, doing it. But, yeah.
It's only happened twice in 6 months. It's not much, is it, really?
But you got to... all the other times, potentially, is he just keeping it quiet? He just managed to hold it in when he got to that point.
He's not holding it in, is he? No, obviously not.
Yeah, I don't know what to say to that, really. I wouldn't be very happy, like.
Nah, he's got a bit of etiquette, really. I think it's something you can talk about. Just go, look, it's pissing me off.
Yeah.
You know, my name is this. I'm with you now. So get a grip.
Yeah, get a grip of yourself.
Or maybe she says to him, look, just so you know, it really turns me off when there's noise in the bedroom at those occasions. So I prefer silence and just hold it in. Just to stop that. I'm cross for her, actually. I think it's awful.
Yeah, it's not great.
Oh, Vera.
Ah, I've got it. Right. So every time you get to the crescendo, you know, it's a bit like Basic Instinct. So what you do, instead of killing them, obviously, that's not good. What you could do is get a fly swat and slap him on his temple. And he'll go, oh, Gene! So he have this big welt mark on the side of his... On the side.
Yeah, it'd probably learn quickly, yeah.
Yeah, he'd learn.
Vera! Vera!
Do you know what, though? We're saying Vera. Vera could be an easy name to shout out. We don't actually know her real name. It could be some ridiculously complicated turn-off name. You don't know. You just can't. You just can't get it out.
I do actually know her real name.
Oh, don't
say
it.
Not putting it in. I'm not going to say it. I'm just going to have a
look. Is it easy?
Yeah, it's really easy.
Oh, Joe!
Nay way, man.
I'll hold it up to the screen. I don't know if you can see that, but it's really not very
difficult.
Oh, yeah. That's four. Yeah.
No excuse then. No.
Absolutely none at all. And you can shorten it.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Oh!
One syllable. They can get it down to one syllable.
Yeah.
In that case, Vera, we think there's no excuse for it. And he just has to sort it out. Sorry about that.
Yeah, we're with you, Vera.
We're with you, Vera. Yeah.
If your life's in a mess, then the email address is theagonyuncles@thehairybikes.co.uk. Yeah.
Hey, well, after all that problem solving, I think we're all quite worn out. Oh. So it's time to say goodbye. Thanks so much for writing in and sending in your troubles. We do love hearing from you. And we really do read all the messages that you send us on social media. Yes, we really, really do. Now, remember, if you haven't done it yet, email us at agonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk. agonyuncles@thehairybikers.co.uk. Then make sure you follow or subscribe so you don't miss any of the new ones when they came out. Because you wouldn't want to do that now, would you? No, you wouldn't. So until next week, it's goodbye from Tash. Tash?
Bye.
It's goodbye from Mr. Mark Jeeves.
Goodbye.
Mark
Jeeves. Goodbye.
And it's goodbye from me and the best smoker. That's us.
Bye-bye.